2 Corinthians chapter 3. Possibly I should read. We'll start with the 13th verse. And not as Moses, which had put a veil over his face. 12th says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away in Christ? Amen. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. 4th chapter. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servants for Jesus. For God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Amen. He said, whereby are given unto us, verse 4, great and precious promises. Amen. That ye might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and a virtue knowledge, and a knowledge temperance, and a temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is, let's say it together, blind. He that lacketh these things, let's say it again, is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 20/20 vision and walking down blind. Amen. I was up at the car auction back in January. And it had all that snow and all that ice, and they hadn't done a very good job moving it off. They had still had all them cars up there, out there on the parking area where the parked cars are going to sell. And they hadn't moved all the snow, all the ice. They couldn't, because the cars was out there. And it had been too big a job. But the weather had got better, and most of it had melted. And in between the cars, where it had melted, and where the sun hadn't yet shined yet, it froze back and had black ice in between the cars. Amen. And I was walking around, milling around in between the cars, you know, and doing my walking and getting my exercise. And while I satisfied an idle curiosity of looking at those cars, you know. And as I walked between two of those cars, before I even knew what happened, I was laying on my side, flat of the ground, with my elbow stuck in the pavement. Or at least I tried to stick it in the pavement. Amen. If I hadn't had that pretty heavy clothes on, I would have cracked my elbow for sure. But I had a top coat on, you know, and it was kind of quilted like padding and so forth. But before I knew it, I was flat on the ground. Amen. I mean, here's the way I was laying. On my left side, fell straight on my elbow, flat on the ground. Amen. Now that's pretty bad. Tell the truth about it, it hurt. I said, oh, and it felt so good after it quit hurting. I wondered if I ought to go back and do it again so it feel good again. No, amen. Here I lay, my head and my hat hit the pavement. My elbow hit the pavement. My whole body hit the pavement. Tell the truth about it, I was embarrassed. I was glad nobody saw me laying on the ground between them two cars. But what if Brother Ray went to the auction and Roger went to the auction a month later and I was still laying there? Huh? Amen. It would just have been an embarrassment not only to me but to everybody else if I was still laying there. You know what I did? Just as soon as I could, I got up from there and got over that. I didn't want nobody to know that I was stupid enough to slide down between them cars. That I was clumsy enough to slide down between them cars. So I didn't lay there. Amen. And I don't want you to neither. If you suddenly slip and fall, you find yourself on black ice, amen. Holler for help if you need to, but don't lay there. Get up. Amen. Wouldn't I be a pretty looking thing, 60 years old, still laying there 2 months later? Huh? Amen. Don't you laugh at me, Mike. I'm up. I'm walking around. Amen. Hey, I didn't let nobody know I even fell. Praise God. I didn't want to see my embarrassment. Amen. You know how I got up? I could see where I'd made the mistake. I'd misjudged that black ice between those cars. It didn't look all that bad. But because I could see good, I got up. Amen. And I made the most of my other senses and my other limbs and my other functions. Amen. And I got myself up off of the ground. That's what I think everybody ought to do. Don't you lay there and let the devil walk on you. Amen. Great God, nowadays people are so Sue conscious. They're wanting to get some money for nothing so bad that some folks will lay there and sue. Amen. I'd rather get up and walk. Amen. And have my dignity than get a few $1,000. Hey, it's better to have dignity than to have a few $1,000 even. Amen. Oh, yes. But that's not my message. I'm talking about 20/20 vision and walking down blind. Amen. Maybe I should say falling down blind. Amen. Samson was a mighty warrior. In the 20-some-odd years that he ruled as a judge in Israel, you hear very little about the good that he did as he sat on the judgment seat. You only hear about the bad times. Amen. And at last we see him grinding at the mill with his eyes gouged out. And so eloquent ministers of bygone years have preached on the grinding, blinding, binding power of sin. And they talked about Samson. Amen. It's a terrible thing to be spiritually blind. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about natural blindness. Natural blindness is bad. But spiritual blindness may be even worse. You can go to heaven naturally blind. Samson did. Did you know Samson wound up in the Heroes of Faith gallery? Even in spite of his failures? Amen. Samson went to heaven blind. Amen. But you can't go to heaven spiritually blind, I'm afraid. Amen. The trouble of being spiritually blind, you can be on the brink of hell and not know it this morning. Amen. Blinded. Blinded. He said their minds was blinded. That's a terrible thing to be blind. I mean, I've seen a lot of blind people. Their minds are sharp. Amen. Blind Sue, she might have been blind, but her mind was sharp. Her ears were sharp. She could tell you what key you was playing in. You didn't have to tell her. No matter what key you played in, she could tell you what key it was. They call that perfect pitch. Amen. Somebody start singing, well, she would yell to the piano player from the front seat, E. Somebody start singing, you know, like we do in country church a lot of times. Amen. Didn't know what key to start in. She'd yell from the front seat to the pianist who's hunting around. You know. She'd yell F. She could tell you what key you was in. She had perfect pitch. Amen. You know why? There wasn't nothing wrong with her ears, and it wasn't nothing wrong with her mind, and it wasn't nothing wrong with her mouth. Amen. She could talk. Her tongue could speak. Praise God. But there's a lot of people today, and sometimes even in church, this is religious people that he's talking about. Some of the most religious people in the world. He said their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. And since they reject Christ, they go on blind. When you reject Christ this morning, you condemn yourself to perpetual blindness. Amen. You say, I don't want to see. I turn my head. I avoid the issue. I don't want to see. Be careful about that. If you refuse the light, you may be relegating yourself to perpetual darkness. Amen. That's the consequences of blindness. Amen. It's interesting to note that he mentions it in both chapters. Amen. But he says in the 16th verse here of the third chapter, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Just come to Jesus. Amen. That's the cure for spiritual blindness. Come to Jesus. And your understanding falls open. And the veil is taken away. And your mind is no longer blind. You take a Jew that gets saved, that accepts Christ today, they have a keener conception of spiritual things than anybody. Because you see, they wrote the Bible. They understand Eastern culture. They understand Eastern phraseology and illustrations. They understand the parables better than we do, because that's where they came from. And so a Jew that accepts Christ, amen, seems to be more enlightened in than anybody. Praise God. Why? The veil is taken away, but it's the same. You can be cured this morning by turning to the Lord. And the wonderful blessing of it is found in verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When your eyes come open, that sets you free. When you're blind, you can't drive. Amen. Did you drive to church this morning, Sister Richardson? Amen. How old are you? That's a woman now, a real woman that'll admit she's 82. Amen. But Sister Richardson drove to church this morning herself, and she's 82. Amen. And you know why she could drive to church? She's not blind. Amen. Oh, them eyes may not be see as sharp as they used to. Amen. But she's got a driver's license, and that says she's not restricted. She's not blind. Amen. I said all that to say this. To be able to see sets you free. You can just do so much when you can see. You can't do anything much if you can't see. Amen. I mean, you're eligible for a pension if you can't see. I mean, you can draw your Social Security if you can't see. If you're just what they call legally blind, like Brother Dave Myers is, he can see a little bit. He can get that checkbook up real close to his eyes, and he can see. And he can even write a check by getting it up close to his eyes. Amen. But he carries a white cane. He can't drive. Somebody's got to bring him to church. Amen. Because he's legally blind. How many is glad you're free this morning? Good spiritual vision sets you free. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Praise God, to be able to see. My, if you couldn't see, it wouldn't make any difference if you was in Kroger's or Aldi's or Odd Lots. If you couldn't see. If you couldn't see, amen. Of course, if you go to the thrift store, you might smell something, you know. But, amen. Some people don't like it in there because they don't like the smell, but I tell you, you get used to that even. Amen. Hallelujah. But if you can't see, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference whether you're in the grocery store or the second-hand store. But aren't you glad you can see? Amen. Ah, yes, when they label that food, Jimmy, when they label them pickles, Brother Hugh, you can reach up there and pick you out some pickles. And you know you didn't get Purex, because you can see. But if you can't see, amen, you might get soap instead of cereal. Amen. Yeah. This cereal weighs awful heavy. Amen. And you'd be like the nearsighted Mr. Magoo, you know. Amen. You wouldn't be able to tell what was what. Amen. Because you couldn't see. Good. Amen. You'd be like I was plowing the other day, and three times Monday in that high wind, my hat blowed off. Amen. And that's a tragedy for me, because wind does terrible things to my hair when my hat blows off. Amen. And so I had to chase down my hat. Amen. Three times I left the garden and chased it down with a tractor. And finally, well, up out in the field, it finally laid down, decided to lay there and wait on me. It was almost temperamental. It had to get just right. before the wind would pick it up and blow it away. So I hurried. One time I left the tractor and run after my hat. Amen. Yeah, but I did at least find my hat. I wasn't like the nearsighted fellow that was chasing his hat in the wind, and pretty soon he was going around and around in this lady's backyard. She said, "What are you doing?" From the back door, he said, "I'm chasing my hat." And she said, "That's not your hat, that's my old black hen. When you're blind, amen, you might chase the old black hen instead of your hat." Amen. And so you got good eyesight this morning? Be glad of it. Did you know the Bible said that if we was blind, we're just apt to take off after anything? Speaks of a people blown about by every wind and doctrine. Religious, but blind. Why do they do that? They're reaching for something. And they think they find it in a new movement or a new religion or a new cause to march in the streets for and carry a placard for. Amen. Most of the people that rally behind these causes and march in the street, they don't know why they're there. But I'll tell you why most of them's there. Because they're blind. Amen. There's a bunch of them that's marching for the lesbians. And I'll tell you why they're there. They're blind. And there's a bunch more that's marching and hooping it up for the homosexuals. I'll tell you why they're there. They're blind. Amen. And there's a whole bunch out on the streets in indecent, immodest garbs carrying placards for pro-life and against abortion. Well, if they was against abortion, they'd dress different. Because adultery and fornication is one of the main causes, amen, for illicit sex and thus abortion. Here they are, amen, marching in the short shorts. Amen. Marching carrying a placard, you know. Amen. Standing on it. I don't even want to stand on the street with them. Even they are carrying a placard. Amen. Some woman in a tight pair of breeches look like she's melted and poured in them. Amen. Marching against abortion. Pro-life. Baloney. Amen. I pick my crowds that I march with. You know why? Because I can see. Amen. I can see. Thank God. I can see. Hey, I've been saved. I've been to the altar. I found Jesus. And you know why so many Pentecostals are going back to these weak and beggarly elements? They're going back to this junk. Amen. It's because they gone blind. Amen. I mean, preacher's blind right behind the pulpit. Preacher's wife's blind. Amen. You know, people, they don't listen to what preacher says anyway. They look at his wife to see what he means by what he says when he talks about holiness. Amen. Thank God for good preacher's wives. I appreciate them. Amen. But oh, I've seen so many change in these last few years. Why'd they change? Why are they doing that? I can tell you. I've got the answer this morning. They're blind. They can't see. Amen. They lost out on this heavenly addition. Praise God. Wonderful thing about being able to see is when you see Jesus and you know that you're face to face with Him and you see what He's like and you get His image good and clear in your heart, then you yourself are transformed to be like Him. That's what He said right here. Amen. And He said, "Now we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed." Amen. The greatest single element in us changing for the better is to see Jesus. And when we see Jesus, we're changed. And when we begin to change the other way, and them's people that Jesus said don't meddle with them that are given to change. Amen. Don't meddle with them, the wise man said. Praise God. Oh yes, they've gone blind. We're changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord which gives us such liberty. Wouldn't you hate to be blind when you go to buy a car? Amen. Now those salesmen, they can spruce up a car and make them look good. Amen. But up there at the auction, when they're selling them to each other, when salesmen's buying cars from salesmen, they look under the head and they hate that shellac that's sprayed on that engine. You can hear them say, "I hate that stuff." Amen. You know what they want to do? They want to take it home, amen, clean it up and spray the shellac on there themselves. Amen. They want to, somebody else trying to deceive them. They want to do it themselves. Amen. Yeah. But the salesman that can see well, he can see through that facade. But some of them are a little bit jittery. Amen. And I said to one of them, I said, "It looks good. Paint looks good." And he said, "That's what I'm afraid of." What did he mean by that? Amen. He was afraid it just looked good. And he's afraid of getting that car and taking it home. Amen. And it's sitting there in the drive and watching it, amen, turn into an ugly duckling right in front of his eyes. Amen. As the shine fades off of it. Amen. And so when they're selling cars to each other, they want to see them just like they're going to be. Amen. Just like they are. They want to see them. Amen. Honest and above board. Amen. James, aren't you glad you can see when you go to buy one? Amen. Now, in my opinion, they have far too few yellow automobiles, because I like yellow. Amen. I would buy all my automobiles yellow if I could find one that suited me. The model and the type and everything. But I have to take other colors. Amen. Because I can't afford the new ones, and so I can't afford Michael to order them new ones. They're too high priced. If I could order them new ones and the color I wanted, I'd order yellow. Amen. Yellow and black makes a good combination. Amen. Yeah. That's what I was driving when I came to Hamilton 39 years ago. Exactly. I was driving a yellow Plymouth with a black top. That's what I was driving when I got out of it with them white buck shoes on. That fellow down southeast Missouri had given me to run a shoe store, and I was wearing them. Amen. I had those tan trousers on and that dark brown sport coat looked like it'd been sprinkled with snowflakes. And I stepped out of that yellow and black car. Amen. With green sidewall tires, them white shoes on, and them tan trousers on and that sport coat that looked like it'd been sprinkled with snowflakes. And Jim Bryant said to Paul Ball, and they'd come direct me to church, said, "Hot dog, we got a cat for a preacher this time." Amen. But I just like yellow. Amen. But I can see. I like this time of the year. Aren't you glad that you can enjoy the springtime? Aren't those magnolias, they call them tulip trees. Some call them magnolias. Oh, sometimes they have such a hard time blooming in spite of the frost. But I believe they're going to make it this year. They're in full bloom all around Hamilton. Praise God. And I'm glad I can see. I'm glad I can see the dogwoods. I'm glad I can see the flowers. Amen. Oh, praise God. And when you see things beautiful, it makes you want to be beautiful, don't it? Amen. But when you can't see, it makes a difference. The light went out in the service station restroom. Where the boys went in to wash up after they'd worked on cars. Amen. They knew the way to the fountain. They knew the way to the hot and cold water. They didn't bother to replace the light bulb. And for days and weeks, they went in and washed in the dark. And finally, one day, somebody screwed a light bulb in, a good one, and turned on the light. And what they saw was appalling. Amen. They had felt their way in and washed their grimy hands. And it had run down and caked down the sides of the sink. It was splattered on the walls because nobody had bothered to wipe it off. They couldn't see. It was dark in there. When a church is dark as far as wholeness, preaching, and righteousness is concerned, and people are not setting a holy example, they're turning off the light. And bad things happen. Oh, but just let some preacher come along and turn on the light bulb. Amen. You know what most churches will do? When he turns on the light bulb and shows how bad shape things are, they run the preacher off instead of turning the light on. Amen. Instead of cleaning up the room, they run the preacher off. It's his fault. No, no, no. He's just trying to help out. Praise God. You know what's wrong with most churches today that wouldn't give you a second hearing in a good gospel message of separation from the world? They're blind. They missed out on this edition. This won't take long. I'm about done. Praise God. Peter said, amen. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. I like to call virtue moral strength and character. Amen. Knowledge. We know what knowledge is, don't we? To know the things of God. Temperance. That's self-control. Did you know that God holds us responsible for controlling this body? Holds us responsible for that. Holds us responsible for reigning in this body and being in control. And when you're the slave of nicotine or the slave of alcohol or the slave of drugs, you're no longer in control. You know why today that there's people right here in Hamilton that kill their mother, their father, if they'd get a few $1,000 for some drugs? Amen. You know why we got to lock the churches? There's a time you didn't even have to lock the churches. We didn't lock the church at Middletown, Ohio, all the time I was there. I boasted from the pulpit. Amen. We're open 24 hours a day. Amen. Brother Willie Markham came to pastor the church. Drugs was taking over in America. Amen. He's having a prayer meeting 5 o'clock in the morning. One morning he met a hippie. Woke up a hippie in the church with a meat hook in his hand. He'd woke him up and he was charging him. Amen. And they started locking the church. 2710 North Verde Parkway. You go up there any time when they're not having church, it'll be locked. Amen. But Brother Setzer, all the 5 years I was there, we didn't lock the church. It was unlocked. That's unheard of today. You know why? People are not in control. Your neighbor's kids may not be in control. Amen. It's bad times that we're living in. Amen. We got to have padlocks, and good ones, or the insurance won't even pay off anymore. Amen. That's why, because temperance is a thing of the past. Patience. You know what that is, don't you? Amen. Godliness. Patience, endurance, godliness, godlikeness, to be like God. Amen. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. How you like that one? And to brotherly kindness, charity. Translation, many versions, is love. Someone said charity is love in action. Amen. He said, for these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But look what he says about those that lack them. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And the disaster sets in. The tragedy of time and eternity sets in when blind men stumble to the brink of hell and don't know that it's hell. They've denied his existence. Their friends deny its existence until they fall in their blindness into hell, and you don't climb back out of there. Even if you go to hell from a church pew. Stand with us this morning. Father, heal the blindness in the lives of men. Help us, Lord, to see the light and come to it and imitate the Son of God. in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. As we sang, you don't want to be one of those that's lost in hell. Come with us and let's gather around this altar and let's all pray together, would you? Amen. Find you an altar all over this congregation. They're kneeling and praying. Come and pray with us this morning. Call on God, would you? Sing. It's your time now. Amen. If you accept Christ, the veil will fall off. The things that you don't see now, you'll see clearly. The things you don't understand, you'll understand tomorrow.
Now I'm so